Book of Mark, chapter 8, verse number 22. Very familiar story here. Mark, chapter 8, verse number 22. The Bible said here, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." The Bible said there, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Read just a little bit real quickly in Proverbs 27. Verse 5 there, another familiar scripture, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 5. The Bible said here, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Hey, I know it's a few places reading. I don't want to read, but I want to read one more place. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 5th verse. Hey, I know it's a lot of turn. Just bear with us for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5 there. Bible said there in Hebrews 12 and 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us, or unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Not verse there said, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now I want you to listen to this 11th verse there. Read it along with us. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. Would you stretch your hand this way? We need the Lord to help us and touch us right here tonight. Praise the Lord. Precious Lord and loving Savior, I thank you for the honor and the privilege of being in your house. God, we realize our feebleness. I realize and recognize my inability. I pray that you'd anoint us, Lord, in our feeble way, if we might be a help, a strength, a blessing to someone. I pray that you'd season our speech with your grace, that it might be words that are fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I pray you'd move in the altars tonight, let us all draw closer and seek you. I pray you'd move in the midst of this meeting. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Amen. Very familiar portion of Scripture that we read here. See, Jesus had this blind man that some people had brought to the Lord. And the Bible said he took him by the hand, led him out of the city. And then he spit on his eyes. And then he laid his hands on him. And he asked him, what do you see? And the man's answer was, I see men as trees walking. Not very clear. It's blurry. I can't really tell what I'm looking at. And if this man sees men as trees walking, then everything he looks at may not be what it seems to be. And it just, in that place, it is a dangerous place to be in. An awful place to be in. A confusing place to be. And the Bible lets us and bears this out. Even how it tells us an example when it talks about the devil. And we know that there is nothing good about him. There is nothing pleasant about him. There is nothing beautiful to behold about him. But the Bible says that even the devil himself hath transformed himself into an angel of light. One scripture said, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is far, he is life. And the Bible said in another place, it's like a ox that goes to the correction of the stocks, and it's like a sheep that is dumb before his shears. It said in another place, there is pleasure in sin for a season. And then it said, till a dart strike through his liver, and he knows not that it is fire, He is life. So it's very easy to see something and it not be what it appears to be. For the Bible said Lot lifted his eyes and he beheld the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't look like a fire to him. They didn't look like destruction to him. But there was fire inside that city. It looked like a booming place. It looked like a good economy. But he didn't see the fire that was in the basement of that place. So we realize it is possible to look at something and it not be as it seems. And if we're not careful, we'll look at advice. We'll look at a message. We'll look at an altar call. We'll look at a song. And instead of it being help, instead of it being courage, instead of it being strength to rise, as Proverbs said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's bad when a man is blind and the Lord lays his hand on him. And instead of seeing help, he sees a wound. Instead of seeing somebody with a helping hand, he sees somebody with a stick. It is that way in some cases. People don't look at the ministry as a help. They look at it somebody with a stick that came to beat and came to slap and came to knock around. We need somebody that will see clearly and say, he's not trying to hurt, he's not trying to wound, but he cares for my soul. Seeing clearly is what we need in this hour. The Bible said there in the book of Hebrews, the Lord chastens every son whom He receives. And then He said, if we endure chastening, if we don't bail out of chastening, if we don't run from chastening, if we don't hide from His chastening, He said, God dealeth with us as with sons. And then He went on to say, He meant kind of like this blind man. He said, now no chastening at the present seemeth to be joyous, but at the first glance it looks like grievous things. At the first hearing of it, hear me just a little while. Do you remember the first time you heard somebody preach to your heart and your soul? It wasn't joyous to you. If you was lost, it was something that hurt you deep down inside. Somebody said, he looked like he was mad at the world. Somebody said, when his face got red and he got to preaching where I was living, I thought that he was just making fun of me, pointing me out and embarrassing me. That's where this blind man is at. What do you see? I see men as trees. What do you hear? I don't hear a message of hope, but I hear a wound. I see a sword and not hell. Hear me just a little while. But if you let the Lord touch you again, before you run from a message, before you run from advice, let the Lord touch you again. And instead of looking like a wound, you look at it and say, He careth for my soul. Faithful are the wound of a friend. Really, the truth is, what a friend says ain't a wound at all. It's just sometimes to us it seems like a wound. Sometimes to us it seems like a stick. Sometimes to us it seems like a sword. I'm reminded of that scripture there in the book of Amos. You know it very well. In chapter 3, in the book of Amos, it talks about a shepherd and a lion and a sheep. And the Bible said that the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion a piece of an ear and a piece of a leg. Hear me just a little while. And I've never been a shepherd before. In the natural sense, I've never had cattle and I've never had sheep and I've never had goats. But they tell me that a shepherd, if a sheep has a tendency of straying, of getting on the wrong side of the fence, of going in somebody else's pasture, of getting away from the flock, and he'll take that young lamb and he'll break his leg. Hear me just a little while. And then I can imagine that if those sheep could talk when they saw the break, and there ain't nothing pleasant about a break. There ain't nothing pleasant about having a piece of your body broken in two. If you could hear the sheep talking amongst themselves, they'd say, that wasn't wisdom. That wasn't love. That wasn't care there. Hear me just a little while. But I'd love for the shepherd to take us on a tour of his house. He would take us over to a cupboard. I can picture it as a glass cupboard. And he'd point at a piece of an ear and a piece of a leg. Why, what is that? That is a lamb. And I didn't get to break his leg. And he went across the fence and he got away from the flock. And before I could get to him, a lamb, a sin, a weight had done devoured him. And he died lost. And I purposed in my heart, I'll never let that happen again. They may not understand why I break their leg. They may not understand why I wound them. But when I show them that one that I lost, they may understand it ain't a wound, but it's help. It ain't a wound, but it's strength. It ain't hate, but it's love. A child left to himself bringeth his parent what? Shame. A child left to himself bringeth his parent shame. You can hear some that has invalids that got that way drinking or in drugs or in different things and situations that their parents just let them go, supplied them with the money, gave them everything they wanted, and confined to that bed, they'll look up at that parent and say, why didn't you love me? Why didn't you conceal me? Why didn't you constrain me? Paul wrote and told us something that if we look at it first, we won't understand it at first glance. When he said, I am a prisoner of love. He said, I am bound by Jesus Christ. I am a prisoner of love. If you just look at that from first glance, you're not going to see it clearly. You've got to let him touch you again. You've got to come to the altar. Hear me just a little while. I've had some messages that really cut me deep. As one man said, the Bible is a two-edged sword. It cuts going and it cuts coming. And I've been cut going and I've been cut coming. And the devil screams in my ear, that's a wound. That's hateful. Hear me just a little while. But I got down and got to praying. And I let the Lord touch me. And he pulled a scale back. And I saw down the road that if I'd have kept going on the path I was on, I'd been in a pit, I'd been in a ditch. But because somebody said, detour, go the other way, they may have slapped me, they may have broke my leg, but I'm glad to have a broke leg, but a saved heart. I'm glad to have hurt feelings, but a saved soul. I'd love to tell us, let God touch you again. Some men come to Jesus, and I feel the Holy Ghost. And they said, these are hard sayings. And he told them something else. And they looked at him, and you know what they said? Who then can be saved? He looked at his disciples one time. I'm talking about the hand-picked. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. He looked at Peter one time. And we know Peter. what we can read in the Bible. We look at him and he told Peter one time, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I wonder how he took that when he first heard it. I wonder if when he looked up, he said, "He's helping me." Or if he looked at it and said, "I see men as trees walking. I see wounds and not help. I thought you was going to bind up the wounds. I thought you was going to lift up the downhearted. But you just told me to get behind you, Satan. Hear me just a little while." And Jesus went on to tell us, at the first glance, chastening is going to look grievous. And you can believe with all your heart, even that the devil is going to magnify. He is going to lift up. He's going to amplify. He's going to get in that open wound. And he's going to poke and prod. And he's going to say, "You know they meant it to hurt you. You know they said it for your bad. You know that preacher threw attitude. You know they're picking on you. Every time you come to church, they ain't got nothing good to say. I'd love to take you to that closet and show you the leg and show you the ear. I'd love to take you to Bartow County in Cartersville, Georgia and show you a jail cell with a boy crying. His name is Tory Silvers. He's my youngest brother. But I remember the time he said, I do not want to hear your preaching. But now he says, preach to me. Tell me what's right. Hear me just a little while. It may look like a wound, but it'll keep you out of hell." Paul got to preach. I think it was to the Corinthians. And they got pretty upset with him. I want you to understand, Paul never changed. He was the same in one revival and the next revival. And some of them looked at him and got very, very upset with him. And Paul said, "At one time, if it had been possible, you took a spoon, put it in your eye socket, plucked your eye out, and give it to me. If that had been possible, that's how much you love me. That's how much confidence you had in me. That's in me just a little while." And he said, "Have I become your enemy because I'm preaching the same gospel? Have I become your enemy because I've got the same compassion? Have I become your enemy because I've not changed my message? Have I become your enemy because I weep over your life? Have I become your enemy because I wring my hands with sweat and worry? Have I become your enemy because I beg and plead with God?" Hear me just a little while. There's a lot of things that you'll never see. Listen to me. There is a lot of things you'll never know. Them people never know the times that Moses laid on his face and he said these words. We only know it because it's written in the Bible, but they did not know it when Moses said, "If you blot their name out, blot my name out as well." Hear me just a little while. They never saw the time he was laying on his face and God said, "The plague has begun." People were already dying and Moses said, "Aaron, get you some fire, get you a censer, and get you some incense, and run and get between the dead and the living. You get between the plague and somebody that's about to get the plague. Hear me. You never see them times because they're done in secret. They're not done for a show. They're done because Moses loves them as his own heart and as his own soul. Hear me just a little while. I'd love to tell us at first glance Paul is mean, but if you let the Lord touch you, you would see, he loves me. He's watching over me. Listen to me. I love to touch me again. Balaam comes to a place. And the donkey won't go the way he wants him to go. The donkey won't take the road that Balaam wants him to take. He turns out of the way. So Balaam kicks him. And he kicks him. And he kicks him. And the Bible said he turned again. And he came to where there was a wall. And he rammed Balaam's foot into the wall. And it broke Balaam's foot. And he kicked him. And he kicked him. And he kicked him again. And the Bible said he turned again. And he went into a place that was narrow, where you could go neither way. And he fell on top of Balaam. And the Bible said Balaam spoke and said, "Would to God that I had a sword, I'd thrust it through you." And that God opened the mouth of that beast, that donkey. And he turned and looked at Balaam and said, "Have I not been your donkey ever since you've bought this donkey? Have I not been good to you? Have I ever done you this way? Have I ever took you down a wrong path? Have I ever bucked you off? Have I ever broke your ankle? Have I ever done anything stubborn against you?" And Balaam answered that donkey, "No." And the Bible said God opened Balaam's eyes and let him see what the donkey sees. For sometimes a donkey sees what we cannot. Hear me just a little while. And the Lord let Balaam see. He touched him again. And the Bible said he saw an angel with a drawn sword. And then the angel spoke. And he said, "If that donkey hadn't moved here and moved there, I'd have killed you and not touched the donkey. I'd let him live." Hear me just a little while. I don't know about you, but I feel in my heart he's got a new love for that donkey. Listen to me. If we let God touch us, we'd have a new love for they that watch over our souls. We'd have a new love for that one that called us and said, "You need to pray. You need to move up. You need to let God help you." That's not a wound. That's help. We need the Lord to touch us again. I'm just going to preach to you my heart. And they bring a blind man unto Jesus. And he touched him. Boy, you see. Well, I really don't think they really care for him. Jonah? What do you see, Jonah? What do you see? "I see a storm that is a trial, that is a trouble, that's tribulation. It's going to sink the ship, and it's going to sink me." But I just wonder what would have been the end of Jonah had not the Lord sent the storm. He would have made it to Tarshish. He would have made it to Tarshish. But when he got there, would he have been a reprobate? Would his conscience have been seared with a hot iron? Would he ever have felt like preaching again? Would he ever have felt like getting on his knees again? Would he ever have been able to tell anybody again, "I serve the Lord and I fear God"? The Lord loved him enough not to let him get to Tarshish. And the Bible told us that he got swallowed by that great fish. And he went to the bottom of the ocean. And he even said, "From the belly of hell I cried unto the Lord." And then he said, "And the Lord heard me." And the Bible said the fish spit him out on the land. And he went to Nineveh and he preached unto that city. And the Lord talked to him again. Every time he looks at a boat, every time it clouds up in the sky, I don't believe he looks at it and says, "This is a trial. This is a heartache. This is a bad thing." I believe he looks at the storm now, and when the lightning flashes, he can look up and say, "That was not a wound, but that was salvation. That was not a storm, but that was your love." I love to tell sometimes the grain does get cut, and sometimes the Bible does hit us, but I'd love to tell us, if we let God touch us, we wouldn't say wound,
We'd say healing. We wouldn't say hurt. We'd say grace. Oh, God loves us enough to stop us.
Break my foot. But don't let me go see Balaam in the condition that he's in. Break my leg, Lord. I'd rather go to heaven, hawk, maimed, and withered, and go to hell with nobody ever chastening me. The Bible said this: if the blind follow the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. I feel sorry for some that go to a church where the Bible says they have itching ears. They say what they want to be said. They repeat what they know people want them to repeat. And they may feel good, and they may get by never feeling that conviction. You know what I'm talking about. We've all felt it. It's an uncomfortable feeling. They may get by never feeling that, but they don't realize before they fall in the ditch, they're not going to see it before they fall into it. That rich man didn't know nothing about hell until he lifted his eyes in hell. Hear me just a little while. And he felt so sorry for the man, full of sores. But if he'd let the Lord touch him, he would have looked past the sores and he would have seen somebody that had their heart in heaven. Hear me just a little while. Lord, if you've got to feel me full of sores, if you've got to feel me full of wounds, if you've got to every time I come to church, take a whip and crack it. Take it and crack it. Hear me just a little while. Amen. Hear me just a little bit. There was one man that came to Jesus. He was coming to tempt him. He was coming to try him. He was coming to test him. And the Lord told him some hard things. And the Bible said, he looked at him and said, you've answered well. This is the best thing you could have said. To love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body is more than all whole offerings and sacrifices. And the Lord got to talking to him. He realized, this ain't just a wound. There was something else saying, he blasphemed. But this man else saying, he's saved. There was something else saying, he's awful. But that man left saying, he told me what I needed to hear to make it to heaven. I got to hurry. Sister Connie getting us a song ready, if she would. Touch me again, Lord. Before I answer, the Bible said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to write. Before I comment on what this Bible says, or what is preached, or what is taught, or what is done, or somebody that's called me and gave me a word from the Lord, before I comment, Lord, touch me again. You see what I'm saying? Touch me again. I may not see what they see. I may not know what they know. I may not realize what the Lord maybe has showed somebody. But touch me again. I believe Balaam talked to that donkey from then on. If you ever have to throw me against the wall again, don't let somebody kill me. Break my ankle. And the only one that really appreciates the broke leg is the lamb that has sawed the pieces. And then he looks at the shepherd in a whole different light.
He don't see a tree anymore. But he sees clearly. You were saving me, wasn't you? You was caring for me, wasn't you? You loved me, didn't you? Hear me just a little while. I've had some people tell me some things sometimes that really rubbed me wrong. But I look back on it now. And I look where that path wound up that I was walking on. And I say, they loved me all the time. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But deceitful is the kisses of every enemy. Somebody just flatters us, don't love us. Somebody just all the time compliments us and pats us on the back. You doing all right, knowing we're not. That ain't love. That ain't love in the least little bit. I try to relate to my children. I'm closing, really. It's just a simple illustration. But I've thought about it, Brother Mike. Homeschooling our oldest girl, my youngest one's not old enough. You know, it'd be real easy to give her every answer on every test. And even while she's taking it, stand over her shoulder. And if she wrote a wrong answer, hey, hang around. Write this down. And she may go through her whole school life. Say, buddy, my daddy loves me. But when she got out there in the real world and she was just as ignorant can be, and everybody took advantage of her because of her ignorance, then she would look back at me and say, daddy, why'd you hate me so much? I love her enough to be hard on her. I feel the Holy Ghost. I love her enough to be hard on her. Because I know there's a world out there that would just smile at taking advantage of her. Hear me just a little while. Hey, well, there's a world out there that would just smile at taking advantage of her. Mocking her, laughing at her, making fun of her. And I don't want that to happen. I may be hard on her. I'm going to be just enough hard on her to get her to where she can handle what she'll have to face. I feel the Holy Ghost. Not giving her the answers ain't loving her. Loving her is making her work. Making her learn. Making her go the right way. Help lead her in the right path. And loving somebody in eternity is preaching the truth. Telling the truth. And that's hard sometimes. I know it hurt the Lord, some of the things they said about Him. Who do you say I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're Beelzebub. Some say you're a devil. Some say you're a liar. Some say you're a false prophet. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, after that second touch, after them hard sayings, the Lord touched him. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hard sayings and all, you're the way to heaven. Hard preaching and all. You're the way to heaven and the way out of hell. Let Him touch you again. Would you stand with us while she sings? Are you seeing clearly? Or has it been a little confused of late? Are you seeing clearly? Or has it been a little fuzzy of late? Come and let the Lord touch you. Come and let the Lord help you. Amen. While she sings, would there be anybody that would like to join us in these altars? And let's ask God to help us. Faithful are the wounds of
priests. I was heavy burdened down The hand of Satan had me down.
Tell me the truth.
I called on Jesus.
Tell me the truth.
He had compassion.
For it's the only thing that'll set you free.
In his blood came
he shall know the truth.
And
the truth shall set you free. And it'll set you free on a road that you'll not fall in a ditch. It'll set you free on a road that you'll not end up in a bad place. Lord, teach me the truth. Oh, let the Holy Ghost lead me and guide me into all truth.